So one of my core values is very simple, quality relationships. And I believe that the essence of happiness in life boils down to just a couple of pretty simple things. And I think one of those is quality relationships. When you have good relationships with people, you're going to be happier, whether it's your parents or your children or your coworkers or your neighbors. Good, strong relationships carry you far in life.
Chad Peterman here, and you are listening to Can't Stop the Growth, a platform for leaders and teams to grow and thrive. We highlight the importance of personal development, pursuing greatness, and always chasing your potential. Let's get into it. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Can't Stop the Growth. I'm your host, Chad Peterman, and today I have a good friend of mine that I've learned a ton over the years when it comes to building companies, building culture, and making sure that you are the employer of choice, regardless of industry. Really excited to chat with him today, given that 2023 in the home services has been a tough year, and it hasn't been easy. And 2024 looks to be potentially presenting a lot of the same obstacles. Where there are obstacles, there are opportunities. And a lot of that hinges on the culture that you build within your company. There's no better person that I know to talk about how to build culture within your company based on what he's done in his career, the people that he's interacted with, and the company really that he has built that I've looked up to for many years now. And really excited to have him on the podcast. Without any further ado, would like to welcome the founder and CEO of Advantage Media Group, Adam Witte. Welcome to the podcast, Adam.
Chad, thanks for having me. This is one of my favorite things, talking about creating a culture your team wants to be a part of that motivates and engages them to do their very best work each and every day and over-deliver for customers. Man, I could talk about this topic till the cows come home. So thanks for having me. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I said, I've learned a ton from you about building culture within our company. Why don't you, for the listeners, just because you're not technically from the home services industry, but you know a lot about a lot of industries and have interacted with a lot of people, maybe give the listeners a little bit of background on what it is that you do and some of the things you've done throughout your career, just to give them kind of a basis for who you are and where you come from.
Yeah, so I've been an entrepreneur and a CEO really my entire life. I started my first business when I was in college at Clemson out of my dorm room. And trust me, I didn't know, as my mother would say, shit from Shinola. And, you know, the great thing about entrepreneurship is you figure it out. And if you don't figure it out, you go out of business. And so there's this forcing mechanism of, hey, we've got to learn, we've got to listen, and we've got to iterate. It's okay to make a mistake, but you just can't keep making that same mistake over and over again. You've got to learn from it and you've got to improve. And so I started my first business when I was in college. The company was called Ticket Advantage. It was a marketplace to buy and sell unused sports tickets. For those of you that have ever heard of StubHub, it was a similar business to StubHub. Now, I didn't have the success that StubHub had. And while I didn't have a big exit, I did really kind of get an MBA, if you will, from the School of Hard Knocks. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about human psychology and people. And I learned a great bit about business and how to serve customers through that first business. I graduated from Clemson. I was a starving entrepreneur. So I thought, if I'm going to starve, I'll at least starve at the beach. And that's what brought me to Charleston, South Carolina in 2004. I started my next business, which is actually the business I run today, Advantage Media, in 2005. Our business is all about helping CEOs, helping entrepreneurs build their authority, become thought leaders, and share their expertise with the world. We do that by helping entrepreneurs and CEOs write and publish and market books, launching them into the world as the most powerful educational tool in the world. That is a book. And then we also help those same CEOs build their authority through public relations, through digital media, through serialized content, through audio and video media too. And of course, Chad, we've had the pleasure to serve you, not just with your first book, but now with your second book, helping you take your expertise and share that with others through publishing and through authority building. So that's the business I run today. But along the way, I've been involved in other businesses. I ran as the CEO a company called Magnetic Marketing for about 3.5 years. Some of you perhaps have heard of business guru, marketing legend, Dan Kennedy. Magnetic Marketing was a marketing education company founded by him. I also owned and operated a software business in the dental space for a couple of years called MLive. And today, kind of on the side, when I'm not helping my wife raise our wonderful son, I'm a partner in a boutique hospitality company called Truvie Collection, which owns and operates boutique hotels in the southeastern United States. Now, my main thing is Advantage Media. That's what I do 8+ hours every day. But certainly, probably like a lot of listeners, I've had my hand in a number of different pots in the entrepreneurial and business world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the big thing and why I thought it was extremely important to have you on the podcast was, while you've been involved in a number of companies and probably will continue to be into the future, I think one of the things that I've learned from you most is the importance of culture within any company you run. So whether you sell books or whether you sell furnaces, at the end of the day, building a culture that your people want to come to and are able to perform at their best is critical to your success. So if you don't mind, give us a little bit of background and kind of, you know, you've had these business ventures, started in college, moved throughout it. What are the couple of things that you've learned about culture and its importance in the success of the business that you could share with some of the listeners?
To create a great culture in a business, it starts with enlightenment. And that enlightenment comes to the CEO or the founder. And I did not start out as an enlightened founder. It was a long journey to get there, learning from things that went right, learning from things that went wrong, modeling myself to people that I admired from afar. And what I can tell you is this: I think the enlightenment journey began many, many years ago, probably 15 plus years ago. I've been in business now for 18 years as an entrepreneur and CEO, and probably 3 years in, at the time, there was a lot of hubbub around this term called hump day. Those of you probably know what hump day is. It's Wednesday, and it's kind of a derogatory term that, like, oh man, half the week is over the hump and I'm getting closer to the weekend. And I bet a lot of you also know the term TGIF, kind of made popular probably in the 90s, which was this idea of thank God it's Friday. And when I really started thinking about hump day and TGIF, I came to this conclusion that, you know, these two colloquialism terms were popular because many people just hated their job. They hated what they did for a living, and they were counting down the days to get to the weekend. And I really thought to myself, like, man, how sad is it that we live in a world where so many people live for 2 days and they get through the next 5 just to get to 2? And, you know, how sad is it that on Sunday evening, people get the heebie-jeebies and are like, oh God, I got to get up and go to work tomorrow. And as I thought about that, I realized that, you know, I was the boss. And if I wanted to change that, it would be up to me. And I had the power as the leader of the organization to change that. And so I really got interested in studying culture. You know, why was it that companies that had great cultures perform better? How do you create a great culture? What are the building blocks? What are the ingredients? Does the CEO really matter? I don't know. I started reading books. I started listening to, you know, YouTube videos. I attended conferences. And I said, I'm going to make my company the guinea pig. I'm going to just try all of these things in my own business. And, you know, at the time, you know, we just had a couple dozen people in our business. So we were a really small business at the time. And it was an iterative process where, you know, I do a couple things right, and then I might take a step back. And then I take 2 more steps forward, and then maybe a step back. But here's what I realized. I realized that when people are happy, when your team is happy, they do better work. They're more productive. they go the extra mile for your customer. And all of those things impact the bottom line. So to keep it really simple, here's what I figured out. Happy employees equal successful customers, which equal profitable growth. Most entrepreneurs, most CEOs, most business leaders, they're focused on the top line and they're focused on the bottom line. I got to grow revenue and I want to make profit. And they focus on that, forgetting about everything else. What I learned is that actually, if you focus on making your team happy and getting them engaged and creating work for them that fulfills them and kind of fuels their fire, it creates a trickle-down effect, which ultimately produces growth and profit. And so for me, it was this big idea, and I stumbled upon this through learning and through trial by fire, that, you know, if you focus on taking care of your core customer, which is really your employees, that will then take care of everything else.
I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, in the home services space, we always talk and tell our field professionals, provide good customer service and the revenue will follow. Don't focus on the revenue. Don't focus on selling a customer something that they may not need or just to get your bonus or whatever it is. It's just provide great customer service. And I think the one thing, much like you've learned, is that as the leader of a company, it's your job to provide great customer service to the people that work on your team, and the growth will follow. And sometimes when we lose track of that and all we're focused on, as you said, is top line and bottom line growth, and we forget about the people. One of the biggest lessons I've learned as a CEO is that as the leader, you don't get to do the work anymore. People have to do the work. And to your point, they have to be happy. They have to be engaged. They have to want to provide that great customer service because that's what they're getting from their leader. One of the pieces that I'd like you to talk about, just because I've seen it in action at your office, is the role that communication plays in making sure that people are happy, they're aware of what's going on, because a confused mind is going to fill in the gaps with whatever story makes the most sense. Tell us a little bit about how you guys utilize communication, and then maybe your experience of, you know, maybe where there was a time of lack of communication and how that created unrest and a bunch of different storylines that you had to put to bed or clarify or something of that nature.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with an analogy. Everybody listening to this podcast, if you're running a business, think about your business as a rowboat that's in the water, and every single person on your team is in that rowboat with you, right? And, you know, we call our team, we call them architects. We call them authority architects because that's the business we're in. Some people call them team members. I like that name. Some people call them associates. I really don't like the word employees because it seems very transactional. You know, I'm paying you to perform work and that's all this is. So one thing I'll just say is if you can avoid using the word employees, I would suggest you do that. But you and your team, you're in this rowboat. And if you want the boat to move fast in the water, you've got to have everybody in that rowboat rowing. But not just everybody rowing, rowing in the same direction. And not just rowing in the same direction, but rowing with vigor and might and energy and positivity, right? So all of those things have to happen. And by the way, the faster your boat moves through the water, the more growth your business will achieve, the more profit your business will produce. Okay? So we're just using this as an analogy right now. So communication to me is really about two things. Clarity. Everybody is clear what needs to be done. What's the objective and what's the goal? So let's go back to our boat for a minute. If everybody's sitting in the boat and half of your team thinks this is a leisurely Sunday afternoon where we're tooling around the lake in a boat, and the other half of your team thinks these are the Olympics and we're going for the gold medal, and they start working to row, it's going to be a disaster because there is not clarity of here's the objective. There's a big difference between a Sunday afternoon stroll and the Olympics. The second thing is alignment. When you have clarity, people know what the objective is. And then you have alignment where everybody buys into that objective and agrees that this is a noble objective that we're going to all work hard towards. When you have clarity and when you have alignment, that boat is going to move through the water like a pistol. And yes, if you want to win the gold medal in the Olympics, that's a real possibility. What does any of this have to do with communication? Everything. Without great communication, you will not have clarity and you will not have alignment. And if you want to see a business that's dysfunctional, right? We've all been in dysfunctional businesses in our career. Maybe it was our own business at one point. A dysfunctional business has a lack of clarity. Nobody really knows what's going on. Nobody knows what they're really supposed to be doing. And there's no alignment. People are not working together as one team. People are working separately in silos on different things, unaware of how that builds up to what the team or the company is trying to achieve. So great communication, make the main thing the main thing. Be extremely clear. What are we as an organization trying to achieve? And if we can achieve that, how does everybody benefit, right? Chad, if you walk in to your team meeting and say, hey, our goal is to make $2 million in profit, then your team might say, well, how's that benefit me? I didn't come to work this morning to make Chad rich. So what you've got to do is you've got to communicate a plan where everybody is going to win. Everybody's going to be made better off when you achieve that plan. And that's what communication is. You've got to communicate why everybody working together on this plan is good for everybody. Clear, concise, consistent, correct communication, it creates clarity and it creates alignment. And without those two things, Chad, it's impossible to have a strong culture.
I appreciate the way that you phrased that with the analogy of the boat. I think to me, that makes it super clear. I think the one thing that, you know, we've struggled with here and worked to correct is, you know, as entrepreneurs, we got a lot of ideas bouncing around in our head. We got a new idea every morning on how we can make something better. And the one thing that I've learned that has really helped is we write a document every year of, it's called our Vivid Vision. We wrote it for, we'll roll out the 7th annual this year. And it basically just depicts what we envision the company looking like. And to your point, how everyone's going to benefit from rowing in the same direction at the same pace, knowing where we're headed. And to me, as entrepreneurs, that's one of the toughest things because we have all these ideas and we expect our team to know what's in our head. And until we write it down, until we communicate that effectively in a clear and concise manner, they're never going to know. And they're good with going wherever. They trust in you that we're going in the right direction, but they need to know where they're going. And to your point, how they benefit. Yeah, if I came out every year in the Vivid Vision and said, hey, I'd like to make this much money so I can go buy a new car or a new boat, that's not going to benefit everybody. And so what we've done and what I challenge listeners to do is try to figure out that why are you getting bigger? And ours is surrounding by growth creates opportunity for everybody. You may have came into the trades as a field professional, but you want to be a manager. You want to lead a branch. You want to be this, that, or the other, whatever it is. And growth provides that opportunity. If we fail to grow, everybody's going to be in the same position 3 years from now because we won't need anybody else to continue to build out that plan. One of the things I'd like you to talk about is your alignment with, because I think this is so special and it's something that I'm continuing to work on, is your aligning when it comes to developing that clear and concise plan, how you work to create wins in a team member's personal life and wins for the company. Tell us a little bit about what you do and how you do it. I think it's just so extraordinary how you do that piece and how you connect all the dots for your people on your team.
Yeah. So let's start with human psychology. And anybody that is a business leader, anybody that's running a team, you know, should be required to read books on human psychology, because the more you understand what motivates people, the more you can create an environment that is motivating for those people. There's not a single person on my team. There's not a single person, Chad, on your team that woke up this morning and said, hot damn, I get to go to work to make Chad Peterman rich. And nobody said the same thing for Adam Witte either. Okay. But what they did say to themselves is, hot damn, I get to go to work today to work on this project that I am really excited about. Or, hot damn, I get to go to work today to earn a living so I can help put my granddaughter through college, okay? Or something else in between. So one of the things that I really believe business leaders would be wise to do is to ask the question, what motivates you? What drives you? What are you working towards? You really need to understand and know the why of the people on your team if you're going to be able to motivate them and reward them, which rewards then create reinforcement to keep doing good work. So I realized a long time ago that, you know, people weren't coming to work every day to help me achieve my dreams. They were coming to work to achieve theirs. But if I could help them achieve their dreams, they would help me achieve my dreams. There's a famous quote attributed to Zig Ziglar, and the quote goes something like this: if you spend enough time helping people get what they want in life, they'll take care of you getting what you want in life. And it's very counterintuitive, but it's so true. Chad, we created a program, this is probably now 12 years ago, called Dream On. And the idea was that every single person on our team has dreams. And we were going to sit down with each person on our team and help them really articulate what is it that they dreamed for. That could be a once-in-a-lifetime family vacation to Italy. That could be getting the whole family together at Disney World. That could be buying a home. That could be, you know, paying off their college debt. That could be getting a master yoga certification. I mean, people have dreams that will shock and surprise you, not in a good way or a bad way, but just like, oh my gosh, I never knew that that was something that you dreamed of, right? It could be climbing Mount Everest or competing in a marathon. But the point was, we sat down, asked our team, what is it that you dream? And then we had our graphic design team create for each person in the company something that we call a dream board. So everybody has a dream board. Those dream boards are posted and visible to all the people in our company. So you can see what's on somebody's dream board. And then throughout the year, there's no timing and no cadence. We want it to be very unexpected. We will reward someone who's going above and beyond by helping them achieve one of their dreams. And so couple of times a year, we will do a Dream On Award where we will help somebody on our team achieve one of their dreams. Now, a lot of those dreams admittedly have something to do with travel. So we've sent our team members to Ireland, to Germany, to Italy, to Croatia, to Cuba, to Costa Rica. We helped one of our team members do a wardrobe makeover because one of their items on their dream board was dress for the job you want, not for the job you have. And so we had a stylist work with them to redo their wardrobe. We helped someone achieve the highest level of certification as a yoga teacher. We helped someone learn to fly an airplane because that had been a dream of theirs for much of their life, learn to fly. And so the point of it is, it's a lot of fun. And it gets people excited. So helping people achieve what they want will help you achieve what you want. That's the big idea. And if I can just take it one step further, you don't have to create the Dream On program at your company for this to work. Just remember this: find out what it is that drives the people on your team and motivate and reward them for that. And if you help them accomplish what's important to them, they'll help you accomplish what's important to you.
Powerful stuff as it relates to understanding what your team needs to be that next version of themselves and, you know, achieve those things that they've thought about. One of the things that I'd like you to talk about, mainly it came out of the wardrobe example, but I know you as one of the probably most connected people when it comes to studying leaders and reading and meeting and just learning from them. Tell me a little bit about the importance that you've placed on kind of building your network. I think it's really important for leaders to understand and model. And what you said that caught my attention was, you know, start acting like the person or the leader that you want to become today, as opposed to being the person and waiting for, oh, when I reach this level, I'll be that type of leader. Tell me a little bit about kind of how you viewed your, you know, networking is kind of the hot topic, but I think it's more than that. And I feel like you've developed deeper relationships with people that have been impactful in your own leadership journey.
Yes, most companies or a lot of companies have core values. And I believe that every individual has core values too, whether they are enunciated and articulated on a wall or on a piece of paper, or whether or not you just go through the day-to-day motions of your life and never even think about it. But I can tell you what your core values are based on how you spend your time, how you spend your money, and how you behave. So we all have core values, right? So one of my core values is very simple: quality relationships. And I believe that the essence of happiness in life boils down to just a couple of pretty simple things. And I think one of those is quality relationships. When you have good relationships with people, you're going to be happier, whether it's your parents or your children or your coworkers or your neighbors. Good, strong relationships carry you far in life. And I think the same thing is true professionally. You know, networking is an overused term that, quite frankly, is far more simple than what we're talking about. If you want to grow as a leader, if you want to become a bigger man or a bigger woman in terms of your leadership arc, you've got to study and follow people that have been there and done that, right? Model the masters. And here's the good news. The good news is a lot of this you can do without ever meeting these people. It starts with this really powerful thing. You've maybe never heard of it. It's called a book. And there have been tens of thousands of books written on really impressive, really incredible people that when you open those pages, it's a window to the world that they lived, and you can learn so much about those people. So it can start with something as simple as a book. Now, you can take it further than that, right? I've taken it further than that. And for some of these people, I've read the book that they've written or a book that was written about them. Call me old-fashioned, Chad. I wrote them a letter and I told them how much I learned and got and gained from the book. And then I'd usually follow up with a question or two. It was that very tactic that got me a lunch in 1998 with Pat Williams, who's the founder of the Orlando Magic basketball team. And Pat has been a great mentor to me now for well over 20 years. And it started when I read one of his books. A very similar thing happened with a guy named Alan Mulally, who was the CEO of Ford Motor Company and Boeing Commercial Airplanes. I read a book that was written about his leadership of Ford during the great financial crisis of 2008 and 2009. And I wrote him a letter and he replied back. And very fortunately, both Pat and Alan are two mentors that have shared their wisdom with me. Here's what I will tell you. You will be surprised at how giving other leaders are of their time if you have a genuine interest in learning from them so you yourself can become a better leader. And it's rare. You would think a guy as famous as Pat Williams or Alan Mulally would get more fan mail than you can imagine, but they don't get as much as you think. And when they get contact or letter or email from somebody that genuinely wants to learn, wants to be a better leader, what I found is it makes an impression upon them. So it doesn't have to be a national figure. It could be somebody in your community, right? Is there a company in your community that you've always admired that has the respect of everybody in the community? that would probably be a person that perhaps a lunch meeting or a cup of coffee is in the cards. I would guess it is. And what you might find is that person could be the next great mentor, the next great teacher for you on your leadership journey.
Absolutely. I think that's so well said and just great advice. You know, I've always told people that I got a lot of mentors and they don't know that they are my mentor.
And it's kind of an awkward conversation when you do make that connection. You start talking to them, be like, yeah, I've kind of followed you for quite some time and, you know, watched everything you do. But I think there's so much power in finding those people that have achieved great success or, you know, are looked at as kind of a revered leader that you can start emulating. You know, there's a gentleman that I always call my mentor. He let me into his business in 2018, believed in me enough to spend the whole day with me and teach me. And, you know, he's a guy that I'll shoot a text message. I actually just did a couple of weeks ago. And just said, hey, I just want to thank you and know that your belief in me has provided employment for almost 600 people here at our company. And I know that you didn't have that intention when you first let me in your door. You probably thought I was just some young whippersnapper trying to, you know, learn something or do something like this or pick up an idea. But I just want you to know that your belief in me has inspired and affected the lives of so many more. And I think your point of, a lot of people are extremely giving and want to help out and want to spread kind of that message of what they've learned, missteps, successes, whatever it may be. And I think that, you know, you're one that I've learned from. I was like, how does he know all these people? And it's really that simple. It's reading something, being inspired, and then having the courage to reach out and say, hey, I really appreciate what you do. And I've learned so much. Would love to pick your brain about something. And I think it's that willingness to model those people, to step outside of your comfort zone and say, hey, I don't know it all. And I'm still learning and want to learn every day. And I view you as someone who could potentially take me to that next level. So I appreciate you sharing that. Again, anytime that I'm, you know, hesitant to reach out, I always think about you and your ability to do that. And I'm inspired again to just put pen to paper and just tell somebody how much you care and the impact that they've made on your life. What I'd like you to talk about is, you know, I'm working on and finishing up my second book right now. And to me, and what I've learned from you is the power of, you know, the written word and a book and how that can, in my thing, really build influence. You know, Maxwell says leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And to me, a book is one of the greatest ways to increase your influence. And that could be for the people on your team. Here's how I think about things. Or it could be the people on the outside that maybe want to do business with you or what have you. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your company, as you said at the beginning, works with entrepreneurs to kind of spread that message, increase their influence. Tell me a little bit about kind of maybe what you've seen and how powerful that can be to leaders to express their philosophies and their thinking and what they've learned in a book.
Yeah. So when you talk to most leaders and you say, what do you want? Now, people think, oh, I want to make a lot of money. It's not true. That's the stereotype of that, oh, CEOs, entrepreneurs, they're just driven by money and profit. And when you really sit down with most leaders and say, what do you really want? They'll say, you know, I really want to make an impact. And impact for them is defined differently. But there's one thing that is certain and true amongst all. You can't make much of an impact if nobody knows who you are. And so our business is all about saying, hey, if you want to make an impact, then we've got to make sure that people know who you are so you can make that impact. So you can have that influence. So you can be seen as that thought leader that people listen to, that people follow, or people come to for advice or help, or, hey, I need to hire your company to help me do this, right? Whatever that might be. And so what I would say to everybody on this podcast is that if you're the leader of an organization, founder, CEO, executive, the more influence you have, the more impact you can have. And you need to spend some amount of time thinking about how you can build your influence by sharing your knowledge, sharing your stories, sharing your passion for your craft, your passion for your industry. And one of the best ways to do that is through the written form. Hands down, you know, writing and publishing a book, does more to build someone's authority and credibility. It does more to cement someone's impact and influence than probably anything else. And the neat thing about a book is, number one, it's kind of with you forever. It's an asset that you'll have for the rest of your life. But number two, it can equally be as influential with employees or prospective employees, people that you may want to recruit and attract to come be a part of your organization. It's equally as helpful with prospects and or existing customers and clients that do business with your organization today. And it's equally as helpful with the media, with outside centers of influence, strategic partners, community leaders, et cetera, et cetera. When you write and publish a book, it's kind of like the good housekeeping seal of approval. It kind of cements your expertise in a way that nothing else can. Now, I don't bring this up to try to get people interested in doing a book and hoping that they'll call me. I mean, I hope you will call me, but that's not the purpose of this podcast. The purpose of it is to simply say that, hey, if you want to have impact, people have to know you exist. And that means that you've got to spend some time thinking about and working on how do people know that I exist. And you know, for you, Chad, you're a great example. You have become such a passionate believer in the power of culture as fuel for a business, right? I mean, the growth that your company has seen over the last 5 or 6 years is nothing short of astounding. And it's because you focused on culture, not on growth. The culture has helped take care of the growth. And you believe in it so much, you wrote a book about it. And, you know, that book is something that potential recruits that might come work with your company are going to see. And when they read that book, they're going to say, this is an organization I want to be a part of. And if a customer or a prospective customer gets their hand on that book, they'd say, this is the company that I want managing all of my heating and air and everything else. So I just think that influence is important because it's impact. Influence leads to impact. And we all want to have impact. And so focusing on sharing what we know with others, being a teacher of what we know, is one of the greatest ways to create influence, which then creates impact.
Such a powerful statement. I think, as you said early on, you know, a lot of CEOs and leaders of businesses, their true goal is not to just make as much money as they humanly possibly can. Their goal is to make an impact. And, you know, to your point, we're going to launch a location in Louisville, Kentucky here in about a month's time from recording this. And the way that I found the leader was simply posting on LinkedIn and the podcast and the book and all of this. And the gentleman reached out to me and said, hey, if you ever come to Louisville, Kentucky, I want to work at your company. And I said, well, let's meet. This sounds like a great opportunity. And I can tell you that a lot of our people that we've brought on have, and this is just a testament to what you just said, a lot of those people, we send them a copy of the book. We let them know this is what we're about. And to me is letting people know, and you may be in a position where you're like, I don't know much, you know, guess what? People look to you as a leader. And if you want to truly be a leader, making that impact and making that positive kind of statement in your industry and across industries is only going to lead to your business growing better. It's just like we talked about at the beginning, provide great customer service and the growth and the revenue will follow. Undoubtedly, regardless of that's, you know, through a book, through posting on social media, through helping people, through letting people visit your company, whatever it may be, if your goal is to make an impact, the rest will take care of itself. And I think that's just so powerful. And obviously, you know, with your company and the way that you're helping people achieve that impact, I think is so powerful. And thus why I've turned to you for both books, that the second one that'll be launched here just in a couple of months, which is exciting. It's kind of the second chapter of, you know, what else have we learned since writing of the first one? And so it's been a really awesome process. You guys, you have an amazing team that makes it all possible. And again, like you said, it's not that you need to go out and write a book tomorrow, but focus on impact. And at some point in time, writing a book may be that next step of impact that makes sense for you as a leader to move forward. I guess as we wrap up,
if you are interested in potentially writing a book or whatever, obviously, as Adam said, that's not the point of the podcast, is to make sure that everybody goes out and writes a book. But I know that there's some listeners out there who have thought about that. So we'll put the contact information and all the places that you can get a hold of Adam and his team. If that is something that you want to do, I would highly recommend his organization, as I've used him twice now, to create some really cool stuff. But as we kind of wrap up here, and you know, the name of the show is Can't Stop the Growth. And what does growth mean to your team? How is growth going to facilitate kind of the impact you make? What's one thing as we close up here that you'd like to leave listeners with as it relates to kind of their leadership journey and then creating a place that people want to come and work through culture?
Yeah. So a mentor once said to me, he said, "Adam, to serve is to live." And that's a pretty big, heady statement. And I had to kind of stop and peel a couple layers of the onion back on that. And what I realized, and as he and I discussed that statement, to serve is to live, is that service to others, service through leadership, is one of the most noble things that you can do in your life. And doing it well gives you meaning, it gives you fulfillment in life. And, you know, we all have this really unique privilege, which is we get to lead other people. And what are we doing with that privilege? Are we squandering it, or are we making the most of it? And making the most of it is really about creating an environment that A players want to be a part of. So every single person listening to this podcast, if you lead a company, when your employees are out to dinner with their friends and somebody says, "Oh, you work at Peterman Brothers, tell me about it." Would you want them to say, "That place sucks. I'm just there biding time until I can get a better job that pays more money"? Or do you want them gushing, "Oh my God, I love this company, and let me tell you why. And you better order another drink, because it's going to take a while for me to get through it all." So think about that. If you're a leader, how are your employees talking about your company when they're out to dinner with their friends? I can't imagine there's a single person listening to this podcast that's hoping that their employees say, "It's a hellhole. I wouldn't go anywhere near that company if I could help it." So your name, your brand, your reputation is on the line. And the way that you can preserve and protect your brand and your reputation is by making it your job to create an incredible work environment for your team. As you think about your future, ask yourself this question: what am I doing each and every day to create a work environment where my employees are bragging about our company to their friends over dinner? And if you make that your mission over the next year, I promise you good things are going to happen. I don't know by what percent your revenue is going to go up. I don't know by how many hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars your profit's going to go up. I don't know. But I do know that arrow is going to go up if you make it your mission to say, "What am I going to do today to create a great culture that A players want to be a part of?" And if you do that as a leader, that's what service is. To serve is to live. It's the greatest opportunity that we all have. And boy, if we can do a great job at that, it's a lot of fun, it's a lot of fulfilling, and it's pretty rewarding too.
That is a fantastic message to end on. The one thing I was thinking as you were saying that is, this is probably an episode I should listen to probably every month, just as a reminder of what that mission is. And I think you said it so eloquently of, what are your people saying about the company when they're out with their friends? And to me, that is, if you can over-index in making that something that you're tackling, if that's the mission, to your point, I 100% agree, the rest is going to take care of itself. As we conclude here, Adam, cannot thank you enough for your time. I know you're a busy guy and really appreciate the insight that you've provided the listeners. I think this is going to be an extremely well-received episode here, all around leadership, creating culture, and most importantly, creating impact in our communities, in our companies, and really on a broader scale. So thank you for your time. I'm excited for the listeners to hear this. As always, out there, you can't stop the growth. And you can do that and ensure that that is the case by focusing on a lot of the things that Adam spoke about today. So thanks again, Adam. And until next time, we'll talk to you. Bye-bye. Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to get connected, you can find me at chadmpeterman.com. To see what our team's up to, you can visit petermanbros.com. As always, keep growing out there.